Okay, good morning. Good morning to you. Happy Father's Day to all you dads and spiritual dads there. So since it's Father's Day, I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak on the heart of a father, the heart of a father. So in the beginning of May, out of the blue, I get this phone call, and it's from this gal named Amanda. Now, Amanda was part of the YWAM team that was here that we hosted back last summer. That was just an incredible time interacting with them and hosting them. So she calls me, and I was surprised because I don't talk to her. I haven't talked to her since. So she called me and she says, "Hey, our team had such an awesome time with you hosting. It's incredible." And right now she's at the Portland base, the Portland YWAM base. So YWAM is Youth with a Mission. It's an incredible global youth missions organization. So they're at the base. They have bases all over the world. So she was at the Portland base, and she said, "We've been hosting a team from South America, actually from Colombia, South America." And she said, they're planning and scheduled to go to Southern California, but their contact has fallen through. So I was wondering if you guys might be open to helping out in some way. So, okay, well, how many? She says, "Well, there's a young pastor couple, and then there's four college-age students, young adults." So I go, "Okay, well, when do you think they would come?" She said, "Next week." I was like, "Okay, for about how many?" I think she goes, "I'm not sure," because she had just found out. She didn't know either. And kind of, YWAM's kind of known to like just operate by being led by the Spirit. So she said, "Oh, I don't know, let me find out." So we were going back and forth. She said, "Oh, they're planning to come on this next Wednesday." It was a Thursday. "Next Wednesday, they're planning to come and stay for four nights." So we were just wondering if there's any way you could help. So I go, "Okay, let me see what I can do." So I get on the phone, start calling people, and I just bless Bob, and they're over here. They're on opposite sides of the other. Bob and Nancy Aisawa, they have been so gracious to host. You guys don't know, they've hosted many people connected with our church. And so they said, "Okay, we think we could host them." Six people. "We think we could host them a couple of nights." And then I was praying, and then I thought, "Okay, well, I'll pay for a hotel for them for a night, and then I think maybe they could stay at the Freedom Center for a night." So I said, "Okay, I think we could do this." So I contacted Amanda, and she says, "Okay, great, I'll let them know." And it was challenging because they didn't have a phone. They had phones, but they didn't have phone service. They only could contact through Wi-Fi, an app. And so it was challenging and hard, and we worked it out. But right when I told Amanda, "Yes, we could host them," I felt this weight come upon me. And it was that weight of responsibility. I felt responsible for this team. And then I found out the wife of the pastor, she was 29 weeks pregnant. I thought, oh my gosh. So they come, and actually, it was an amazing time. It was an awesome time. And their stories, their testimonies from growing up in Colombia, we saw God do some incredible things. But you know that weight of responsibility? It didn't lift until I took them to the train station and I was waving goodbye to them. And I was like, whew, wow. A few days later, spending time with the Lord, and I feel like the Lord speaks to me. And he says, "You know what that was?" I said, "What?" You know? "It was you carrying my father's heart. And because you said yes, I'm enlarging your heart." It's like, wow, wow. You know, in this day and age, the way society is moving, I believe people are starving. Starving inside to experience the heart of their Creator, of their Heavenly Father. And a lot of times, people experience the heart of Father God through people. It's through people. Through people, through men, men and people that have experienced the Father's heart ourselves. And when we experience the Father's heart, the Father shows His heart to others to draw them to Him. And so this morning I'm going to share Father's Day. So I'm going to share three characteristics that I believe are part of the Father's heart. There's a lot of characteristics, but these are the ones that just the Lord laid on my heart. And the first relates to the first story I shared. I believe a father is willing to take responsibility for others. A father is willing to take responsibility for others. In this passage, we're going to look at John chapter 10. Jesus speaks about the heart of the Father and the heart that Jesus himself carries. Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Jesus talking, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus says, my heart, the heart of the Father, is to protect others. "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees," listen to this, "he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." A hired person contrasted to the father, a father. The hired person flees when it gets too tough. A hired person flees when there's danger. A hired person will put themselves above the people entrusted to them. But Jesus says, the heart of the Father is to take responsibility and to care. Care for the sheep. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." So the Father, the heart of the Father, takes responsibility and develops relationship with those they are entrusted to care for. "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." So where did Jesus learn the Father's heart? Where did Jesus experience the Father's heart? From the Heavenly Father. He says, "I've experienced from the Father. He knows me, I know him, and I carry that out to others. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus says, "I'm willing to carry the responsibility for other people. I'm willing to protect them. I'm willing to care for them. I'm willing to love them. I'm going to do something about it, and I'm even willing to lay down my life for the welfare, for the safety, for the future, for the salvation of others." And he says, "I learned that from my Father." You know, after my son-in-law Lauren proposed to my daughter Mindy, an interesting thing happened. Lauren was over one afternoon. They were engaged, and the wedding was getting closer. So he was over. I don't know if we're doing wedding planning or something. We were talking to them. And then I just thought, well, since they're getting married soon, I should give him all of Mindy's, you know, like financial documents, like her tax records. I would do her taxes. I should give her taxes. She had student loans. I should give her the student loan. So I went upstairs, got in my file. I got all the stack of files, and I brought it downstairs. And I remember, I was at on the steps, and then he was there, and I handed the files to him. The strangest thing happened. All of a sudden, I felt 10 feet taller. I felt lighter. I was like, oh my gosh, here you go, Lord, right? And it actually felt freeing. It felt freeing because I had been carrying that weight, represented by these files. I had been carrying that weight for 28 years from the day she was born, right, dads? Whether you like it or not, when that child is born, you are responsible. You have that responsibility over your children. That's the heart of a father. The heart of a father does not run away from that responsibility. Embraces that responsibility. Willing to carry the weight of that responsibility. Willing to carry the responsibility for the welfare of others, for the safety of others, for the physical and spiritual growth of those we are entrusted to care for. Where does that come from? It comes from Father God. Romans 5, 6 and 8. For while we were still helpless, some versions say, while we were still sinners, while we were wrapped up in our sin, without a hope, without a solution, without a Savior, while we were in our most desperate state, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. What that means is you didn't have to fix yourself. You didn't have to improve. You didn't have to set these standards. You didn't have to live up to this thing. While we were sinners, while we were in our mud, while we were guilty, Christ died for us. The Father sent the Son, his one and only Son, who he had been with together as one through eternity from the beginning of time. That Son, who he has enjoyed intimate fellowship, that Son, he sent for us. The Father and Jesus, they took responsibility for us. They said they cannot do it on their own. All this time, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, it's to reveal to them, you cannot do it on your own. You are helpless without me, helpless to save yourself, destined for hell without me. So I am going to take responsibility for you, and I am going to do it for you, which you cannot do. Me and my Son, we're going to do for you. And they did. And they did. We need people. We need men. He will demonstrate the Father's heart. We're willing to take responsibility for the growth, the spiritual growth, the welfare of other people. Especially in today's day and age. Men that are willing to take responsibility not only for your own kids, but are willing to grow and mature and expand your cover. Because you've been experiencing that from the Father. And you're willing to step into that and say, I'll do my best to help these people grow, this person grow. I'm going to try to pour my life and invest so they know the Father. And willing to do something about it. So the heart of the Father, willing to take responsibility for other people. Also, a heart of fathers willing to see and affirm the best in others. The Father, Father God, he sees beyond who you currently are. He sees beyond what you currently do. When he looks at you, he sees the future that he has planned out for you. He sees the intimate relationship, the oneness that he has prepared for you. He sees us not as we are, but who he has created and called us to be. Peter, Apostle Peter, he was rough. He was impulsive. He was a volatile person. If some of you have been watching The Chosen, great series. Season 4 just started. It's amazing. It's an amazing series. The Chosen, it portrays all the disciples. Really cool. But Peter, you kind of get a feel for their interpretation, its perspective, what Peter's like. Volatile, right? Flies off the handle, gets angry, emotional, right? This Peter. Yet, Jesus sees in Peter who the Father intends him to be, who he's created to be. Matthew 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, but who, this is Jesus talking, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then Jesus said to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros. And upon this rock, Petra, he says, you are Petros. Upon this Petra, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Jesus says, Peter, you're my rock man. You're my solid rock man. I'm sure the other disciples are going, he flies off the handle. He's always impulsive. Him? Jesus says, yeah, him. Because you don't see him like I see him. What does the Bible say? Man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at what? The heart. He saw who Peter was going to be. He saw Peter's calling and destiny. He saw that on Peter, because of his heart, because of the future plans that God had for him, I could build my church upon Peter as one of the foundations. You know, we've been doing this class, learning to hear God's voice. It's not even a class, it's boot camp. I call it a boot camp. So we do this class, Hearing God's Voice Boot Camp. And, you know, hearing God's voice, it's one of the most transformational things in the Christian life that you can experience. Because I've said many times, it's one thing to read truths in the Bible, which is amazing. We need to do that. It's another thing when you hear the Father speak to you those truths directly. One thing to hear, read, God says, I love you. It's another thing to hear the Father say, I love you. And so learning to hear God, it's been really cool. So in this class, a big part of the class is doing homework. You need to do homework. So, you know, sometimes people goff at homework. It's like, this homework is spending time with God. If that's homework, you better be doing homework. What, you don't want to work at home? You don't want to do any work? Wives, what if your husband say, okay, I'm married to you, I don't want to do any work in this relationship. Zero work. When I'm in the house, that's homework. No. What kind of relationship are you going to have? What kind of marriage are you going to have? So they've been doing homework, and the homework is just give little prompts every day. I need to give you a break. You just do it Monday through Friday. You got the weekends off, okay? So you do it Monday through Friday and give you a little prompt, sit with the Lord and ask the Lord these questions or read these scriptures. And it's like, write down, what do you think the Lord's speaking to you? And then in the class, we get into small groups and they share what they feel like and they get feedback, because that's really important. Because one of the biggest doubts to hearing God, one of the biggest obstacles to hearing God is doubts. Like, I think God is saying to this, no, I just made it up. No, I just heard someone say this, that's not God. So, and then you dismiss it. So to get feedback, people saying, no, that's God. No, I feel like that's the Lord. Oh yeah, that's in the Bible, right? And so this point about fathers see the best in people, I've asked six volunteers that are going to come up, and they're just going to read and share with you from their journal what they felt like the Lord spoke to them this week. And a lot of the prompts this past week were like, ask God, how do you see me, God? Ask God, how do you feel about me? Ask God, what do you think about me? Ask God, what do I mean to you? Those kind of questions. And so this was their responses. This is what they sensed the Lord speaking. So six volunteers, can you come on up? I saw one of them doing, to decide which in their group was going to share, I saw one of them doing the modern day, what I call the modern day Urim and Thummim. You know what Urim and Thummim was? The priests would have the rocks, right? And they would roll them or to see the will of the Lord. So modern day Urim and Thummim is rock, paper, scissors. So I saw some of the groups, okay, who's going to do it? Who's going to go up there? That was you guys? Okay. All right. So they're going to just share what they got from their journal. So
yeah. So Barry, this morning, as soon as Barry said one person from each group was going to share, immediately Marilyn Hatanaka turns to the group and says, John, I think you're the one that's supposed to. So it's working. She's hearing from God. And then Nancy Aizawa, who's leading our group, says, okay, let's confirm that. Let's do Junkin Po. And so I did Junkin Po with Mike Suzukita, and I won. So that was confirmation that
yes, you won. You did win.
So this past week, Jerry West, longtime LA Laker and consultant, passed away. And I'm reading some of the quotes from a lot of the players. And one stood out to me in particular. It was a guy named Byron Scott. He came to the Lakers at a time that was very unpopular for him because they had another player named Norm Nixon, who was a very popular endeared to LA. And so he knew that he's coming in at a time where people probably don't like the pick. And so he's in Jerry West's office, and Jerry West says to him, Byron, I believe in you. And in that moment, it gave Byron Scott so much confidence that he walked out of that office saying, I will never let this man down. And so I felt like in the moment, God said to me, John, I believe in you. And it was so powerful in that moment. And so I felt like not only does he say that to me, but I felt like he's saying that to all of you. And he wants you to know, I believe in you. So know that your Heavenly Father believes in you, and He will never, ever let you down.
So you can maybe just introduce yourself first, and then you can share. Yeah, go ahead. Well, let's go down the line.
Okay. So a little bit of backstory. Like, while I was up north doing my trade school, one of my roommates, he was actually, like, I knew as a Satanist. And towards the end of the term, like throughout the term, I would speak just about like church, because I would go and he'd be like saying stuff, right? But towards the end, like, it was just me and him sitting in a church, because that's where the graduation would be. And I just felt the Lord speak through me and plant that seed. But what I had trouble with towards the end, like afterwards, was believing that like a seed was planted because of how, I guess, lost he was, even though, like, you know, like the Lord save him, right? But that's what came to mind when I asked the Lord, he sees me. He said, I see you as a leader, one that fills my kingdom even if you don't see it. You plant the seeds in my lost children that make it back to me. And, you know, that broke me down. I guess, the feeling of hearing the Lord speak that to me and the feeling I got from it kind of confirmed that.
Mm. Thanks, Christian.
Good morning. I'm Kimmy Matsuda. After we had shared, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but somebody had said that, oh, Kimmy, I think you should go up and share. And I was too chicken. I said, no, I don't want to. And then our group leader said that he spoke with Barry, and Barry said that we were going to be doing this. And he said when he prayed, my name came to him. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. So anyway, this is the question was, God, can you tell me what I mean to you? So God said, Kimmy, even though you have children of your own and you are a nurturing and even though you have children of your own and are nurturing, you're also precious to me as your children are precious to you. You are my beloved. I am the potter and you are the clay. And I never have seen this, but I actually got this vision as I was praying, and it was Jesus, and he had his hands held up, and there was like all this sun just around him, and he was just smiling at me, and wow, it was powerful. And then he just said, I want to continue to shape you into my faithful servant. And that was just amazing. I was just, talk about feeling loved. I know God loves me, but that day, it was just, I was so blessed. So. Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm Sakura Reese. So I'm not usually kind of a poetic kind of person. I'm more of a thinker than a feeler. And if you guys are familiar with what that means, is that I'm more analytical. I take things and I'll start breaking it down and I'll try to figure it out. I'll try to figure God out. And a feeler is more, they're more emotional. They kind of lead by their emotions. But anyway, I wanted to share that because my journaling experience has been just, okay, receive the Lord's word and then don't think about it, just write it down. And so the question was, can you share with me how you see me? And this is how God responded to me. He said, I see every step and mark you leave in the sand. I see what pleases you, when the wind hits your face. I know what puts a smile on your face and what harms your heart. You're like the flowers that bloom in the spring and your fragrance pure like a baby. I love you more than you'll ever know. You are shy but not afraid, beautifully crafted in my eyes.
Hi, I'm Kristen Poon, Watanabe Poon. Before we did this week's journaling, last weekend, I actually had to make a, they said 40-second video of, kind of promoting myself or marketing myself for my practice, and I just thought of all the ways that the world would want to see me and how do I appeal to the world. And then, so I made my silly 40-second video and I just sent it and I didn't even rewatch it or anything. It was difficult. And then this week we went through all the, how do you see me? How do you think of me? And one of my entries for how do you see me was, you are my favorite person. You're a kind, caring, lovable, hardworking, trustworthy, responsible, and the list could go on and on. But most importantly, I see you as my daughter. And I want you sitting next to me so that you can hear my voice and feel my love. There's nobody I would rather spend time with than you. And it was tricky because I was trying to, after I did this week's homework, I was like, how do I market myself like that when the world wants you to be the funniest person? They want you to dance on TikTok and they want you to do all these things when that's not me. So it's just, it was comforting to kind of hear God just say, this is you and that's who I made you to be. So.
Hi everyone, I'm Jonathan Poon. So I got volunteered to share and I'll go read my journal first. It says, my son, you mean more to me than you can ever imagine. You are like an only child to me. I will leave all the others to go look for you if you are lost. You are so special and unique to me because I created you and I have a reckless love for you. So after I wrote that, I automatically thought of the Corey Asbury song, Reckless Love, and just how the sheep and then Pastor Barry talking about it now with, you know, the shepherd and how if we get lost, you know, usually reckless isn't a good word, but to represent love and how much you have for somebody or, you know, something, you'll go to far measures to, you know, bring back what's lost. So, yeah, that was my entry. And thank you.
Okay. I felt like the Lord gave me a blessing for them because they came up to share. So I'm just going to pray over them. Thank you, Lord. So to each of you six, the Lord says, because you are willing to come up and express me to your church family, I'm going to open up doors and avenues of my relationship with you. Because you obeyed and stepped out in faith, I am going to bless you with something from me, something that you will know. And so may you know how proud I am of you this day, Father's Day, for you sharing about me, your father. May you feel blessed. Okay, thank you all. Thank you, guys. Yeah. It's good, man. Every single thing they shared, as they're sharing, I could think of Bible verses that go with what they shared. And if you hear something that you think's from the Lord and there's a Bible verse, you take that to the bank. That is God speaking to you because he's already spoken to us in his word. He's just bringing his word to your heart and mind at that moment because he knows from the word what you need to hear. And so that's the Father's heart. The Father sees the best in you, in people, and affirms that. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to him through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Before time began, he saw you, and he saw the future and the plans and the calling and the destiny he has for you. Fathers, speak that into other people. And finally, a father is willing to guide and challenge so others will live God's highest calling. Hebrews 12, 10. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. The heart of the Father is to bring out and challenge, to bring out the very best in people. This past week, Dale and I, with my daughter, we took our grandsons, 4 and 1.5, we took them to the park. And so my youngest grandson, Caden, he's 1.5, he wanted to go on the swings. He pointed to the swings. He can't talk, he just grunts, So we took him to the swings. So we put him in the swings, and it's 1 to 1.5, so it's in one of those, like, you know, it's like a seat. It's all around, right? And so Dale puts him in, and then Dale, my wife, she starts pushing Caden. She's like this. And he just swings like this. She did that for a little bit, and I go, forget this, let me in there. So I went behind Caden, I grabbed his seat, I pulled it back like as high as I could, and I let it go. I go, 1, 2, 3. He goes, And then I do it again, and Dale goes, stop. I go, nope, 1, 2, 3, And he's asking, he's laughing. He's having a good time. I do it from the front, and then, you know, I go, okay, he's up to here, so I put my face right where he's going to be, so his face comes up to, right? He's swinging towards me, and, you know, because fathers, right? You want to push them. You want to push them literally and figuratively, right? Push them to experience, to be all that they could be. Challenge them, right? Challenge them. That's the difference between men and women. That's the difference between most in general fathers and mothers, right? Dale's like, oh, no, that's scary, no. I'm like, no, right? Go on the slide, that's a big slide. You want to go? Yeah, go on that one. Because fathers want to challenge, this meant to draw out the best. I'm realizing that more and more for me, that I need to do that. I need to step into that more. That's why we're not having a class over there in the mornings. It's a boot camp. And I went in, I go, okay, this is gonna be like boot camp. So I went in there, I set the tone, I said, okay, 6 classes. If you miss 1 class, you're out. And then people were like, and I was talking to the facilities before, they were, that's kind of too harsh. Okay, you can have 1 excuse absence, but if you miss more than 1, you're out. What's the point of the class if you're not even there? If you're not doing so, and I kind of set the tone. I said, okay, the homework, you could have 1 missed day with the homework, but if you miss that day, you could do it on Saturday. No cramming. You can't do 4 days in 1 day. Oh, I forgot to do it. I go, if you don't do your homework, I want you to come to class, but you can't talk. You could just listen. But then I told the facilitators, okay, I'm setting the tone. It's because, and then I heard people talking after. You know what they were saying? Wow, this is different. Pastor Barry, I never seen him like that before. This is different. But they were saying, this is good. We need this. We need this. You want to lose weight? What do? You need a personal trainer. You need someone that's going to push you, hold you accountable, right? That's what we need for the fathers for. Fathers, we need you to step into that place to challenge people for their good, because God wants the best out of them. And so real quick application. Today, like I said, we desperately need people who have experienced the Father's heart and can share his heart with others. A couple of applications real quick. Men and dads, choose someone who you would be willing to take responsibility to help them grow. Choose someone. Pick someone. Take initiative. Go up to someone and say, hey, would you like to get together and meet? I want to meet with you once a week. We have these things, transformation huddles. It's just that one-on-one, men and women, men with men, women and women. Pick someone. I want to thank the small group leaders. I want to thank you, small group leaders, because you are willing to show the Father's heart and say, okay, I'm willing to be a small group leader and help take responsibility and do the best I can to help people grow. Grow with one another, grow with the Lord. So small group leaders, man, thank you. Children's teachers, those that are in nursery, children teaching the kids, thank you. Youth leaders, youth helpers, youth workers, volunteers, thank you. Because you're showing the Father's heart, you're showing maturity by saying, I'm willing to take responsibility and help others grow. So men, pick someone. There's always someone who's less mature spiritually than you. If you're a Christian, they're a non-Christian, you're more mature. So pick someone. Two, speak into that person the good things you see in them. And then number three, guide and challenge them to bring out the best in them. To bring out the best in them. Right now, I'm going to have the dads all stand. Do we have the gifts? Is the gifts? Is it here? Are they here? Do you see them, Kyle? Do you see them around? Well, if we don't have them, you'll get them later, but I wanted to just pray over the dads. And if you're a spiritual dad too, because there's people in our church that we've designated, we've called out as spiritual dads. It's people that show the Father's heart. You might not be a physical father, but you carry the Father's heart and you bless them. I want you to stand up too, okay? Okay, let me pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just send your Holy Spirit to fill, to challenge, to empower, to strengthen each of these men standing. That you would renew their vision. You would give revelation to each one about this important role they play in the lives of their children and then the lives of the people around them. Would you affirm that they have your spirit within them, your very spirit, and so they carry your heart. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, you would release your heart in them. You would release your heart to want to take responsibility for the growth of others, to want to speak into others what you see in other people, affirm them, and that you want to use them to challenge, to stretch, to encourage those, their kids and those around them to be all that you created and called them to be. And so, Lord, set a fire in each one, because we need men that have experienced your heart and are willing and able to show that to others. Set your fire in them, Lord, to step into that place in a world and in a society that is starving and desperate for godly fathers through whom they could experience your heart. So bless each one of these fathers today, these dads, Lord, spiritual and physical dads today. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, stay standing. The youth coming around with the gifts. Yeah, get a worship team coming up. After you receive a gift, you can have a seat. Yeah, spiritual dads too. All right, thanks, youth. Okay, actually, I'm going to just say another prayer because I feel like this is the best part of all. This is the best part of all. This is why we're here. We get to bless our Heavenly Father. We get to honor Him. So let's pray, Lord, we just want to come before You now to worship You, to bless You, to honor You, to lift You up, to say You are a good, good Father. You are the best of fathers, and thank You for Your heart for us. So, Lord, release worship, release honoring Holy Spirit, stir in this place to that You might be lifted up on Father's Day. You are the one, Lord, that deserves to be honored on Father's Day. So we want to bless You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.